Welcome. Good to be with you today. Those of you who are online with us, I can see you. The rest of our folks cannot, but welcome. We're glad you're here. This has been a strange time for us. Hold on just a second. Okay, I did that last time and found out afterward. I didn't realize, but I'm taking communion, take my mask off, and put mask back on afterward. It covers up the microphone. There we go. Now it's better. This has been a strange time. We're learning all sorts of things, like don't put your microphone inside your mask, right? And learning how to wear a mask all the time, how to be socially distant but still be a part of each other's lives. And it's a complicated time for us. It's weird for me to be standing here. I stood here one day last month. That's the only time in the last 5.5 months, and I've been able to stand here and speak to you and be in the same room with all of you. It's a blessing. And then we have some of our folks not here in our sanctuary, not online with us, but in our fellowship hall, where they have their own lesson and their own singing as well. And so we're blessed that we have a building big enough and wide enough that we can have two separate groups like that. So we're grateful for that. Boy, it's been a strange time, but it is good to be back together. Those of us who are able to today. And Lord willing, as things improve, we'll be able to get together more with more of us and with more frequency, perhaps, for Bible studies, things like that. We'll just have to see how things go. Whatever happens, we know that the Lord is with us. He does not ever leave His people, but He is entirely faithful. Viruses like this have a tendency to come back around. Things get better for a while, and then sometimes they get worse. Another wave can come through. Restrictions may have to be imposed again. Whatever happens, the Lord's going to be with us, and we're going to make it through. We know how to make it through a pandemic at this point. We have made it through part way, and God has given us knowledge and skills and technology to be able to connect, so we're going to be all right, whatever happens. And so we thank God for His blessings, and we appreciate the blessings we've been given today. Jesus said once that anything is possible for God. And we believe that that is true. Such is the power of our Creator. On another occasion, Jesus said, everything is possible for the one who believes. And we believe that is true as well. Not because our belief makes everything possible, but because our belief opens us up to God, through whom everything is possible. Two of the greatest examples of everything being possible for God and for the one who believes come from the very early history of the nation of Israel. So today I'm continuing this series that I've been working through online by video, A Great Cloud of Witnesses, studying through Hebrews chapter 11, stories of great heroes of faith from ancient times to inspire us to put our faith in God today. Some of you have seen those lessons and have been keeping up with those. If you haven't, but you want to catch up, those lessons are available on the church's website on the recordings page. They're also available in audio format there and on the podcast page and through the podcast if you subscribe to that. Let's begin in Hebrews 11, verses 29 and 30, our next passage in this series, A Great Cloud of Witnesses. The writer of Hebrews says, by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Two stunning events here from the early years of the nation of Israel. The first is the climactic moment in Israel's exodus from Egypt, and the second is their first victory in the promised land, which God had promised to their ancestor, Abraham. The key in both events, the writer of Hebrews says, is faith. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. So let's take a look at these two stories this morning that the writer of Hebrews is referring to, and let's see what we can learn about Israel's faith on these occasions that might encourage us to put our faith in God like they did. The story of Israel crossing the Red Sea is in Exodus chapter 14. Let's begin in Exodus 14, verse 5. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed toward the people, and they said, "What is this we have done that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariot and took his army with him and took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them and camped at the sea by Pi-Hahiroth in front of Baal Zephon. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And in the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and of cloud looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen. Of all the hosts of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea, not one of them remained. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, so that the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant, Moses. Well, God worked what had appeared to be impossible that day. When the Israelites were trapped between the Egyptian army and the sea, God parted the sea, allowed Israel to walk through it on dry ground. In last week's lesson, Moses, by faith, kept the Passover when God brought plagues on the Egyptians and the Israelites were set free from slavery in Egypt. Now they're leaving Egypt. But the Egyptians change their minds and pursue the Israelites to take them back as slaves again. What was the Israelites' first reaction when they were pinned down between the Egyptian army and the sea? Their first reaction was not faith. Their first reaction was panic. They were terrified. They began to complain to Moses and cry out to God, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt if we were just going to die out here?" But then they escaped the Egyptians. God stepped in and put a pillar of cloud and fire between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And then he sent a strong wind that parted the waters of the sea, and the Israelites walked across the sea on dry ground to safety. By faith, they escaped the Egyptians. But when the Egyptians tried to cross after them, not by faith, God closed the path between the sea, and the Egyptian army was destroyed. Egypt did battle with the God of Israel and lost. The lesson here is that anything is possible for those who live by faith, because anything is possible with God. Faith is not always our first impulse. Sometimes we stumble. Israel's first impulse was to panic, but at the critical moment, they came around. When God parted the sea and Israel saw it, they stepped out in faith, believing that their God had parted the water and would protect them until they crossed it. Imagine the faith that it takes to step out into the path between two walls of water. By faith, Israel accomplished the impossible. They crossed the sea as on dry land. Anything is possible for those who live by faith. Anything that God wants to see happen, anything that God wants to accomplish in us, not just anything we want, but anything that God wants to have done in us is possible for those who live by faith. God will cause it to happen if we believe in Him and trust Him, if we live by faith. 40 years later, Israel entered the promised land for the first time. They should have gotten there in a matter of months, maybe a year and a half after spending some time with God at Mount Sinai to receive His laws for their nation. But they had problems in their relationship with God, had to stay out in the wilderness for a while. Because of the egregious sins of the people who lived in the promised land, the Canaanites, and because of God's promise to Abraham, God was now ready to give Israel the land of Canaan. But to receive the land, they had to trust God to give them victory over the Canaanites living there. They had to act by faith. That was the reason that they hadn't gotten into the promised land sooner. They had not acted by faith at that time, so God made them stay in the wilderness until that generation passed away. They had to stay 40 years. Now to receive the promised land, they had to act by faith. So this is the story of Israel's first battle in the promised land from the book of Joshua, chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Now, Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every one straight before him. So Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the ark of the Lord. And just as Joshua had commanded the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets, with the ark of the covenant of the Lord following them. The armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the ark while the trumpets blew continually. But Joshua commanded the people, you shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout. So he caused the ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Then Joshua arose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And the 7 priests, bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, walked on, and they blew the trumpets continually. And the armed men were walking before them, and the rear guard was walking after the ark of the Lord, while the trumpets blew continually. And the 2nd day, they marched around the city once, and returned into the camp. So they did for 6 days. On the 7th day, they rose early, at the dawn of day, and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city 7 times. And at the 7th time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And let's skip down to verse 20 here. So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. The first battle of Israel in the Promised Land. And it wasn't even a battle, hardly. They did not topple Jericho's walls, but God did. Archaeologists tell us today that Jericho at that time was protected by a thick, strong wall. They can see evidence of that wall. But suddenly, the wall fell on each of the first 6 days of this strange assault on the city. The Israelites marched around the city 1 time. 1 time each day. And they said nothing as they marched, but just went around silently. On the 7th day, they marched around the city 7 times, still silent until they'd finished the 7th trip around. Well, what was the point of all this marching around the city? Israel never did attack. They just marched around. What was the point? The point was to show that Israel put their faith in God, not in their military strength. The point was to show that when the city fell, it didn't fall by Israel's power, but by the mighty hand of Israel's God. By faith, the Israelites obeyed God's instructions. Hold on a sec. There we go. All right, this is a learning experience. I'm getting that microphone caught in there again. By faith, the Israelites obeyed God's instructions. And suddenly the walls collapsed and Israel captured this well-defended, heavily fortified city. God instructed the people and they obeyed and they accomplished what must have seemed impossible. Faith always obeys the Lord because faith trusts the Lord. The lesson here is that if by faith you obey the Lord, you can do anything God calls you to do. even if it seems impossible. In Memphis, Tennessee in the 1990s, a group of Christians in a church that I would work for later, so I certainly wasn't involved in this story, but heard about it later, started praying that God would give them a way to begin a Bible study with the poorest of the poor in the inner city. I got to visit that area a few years later. It's a dangerous area. It's not the kind of area that most churches dream about going into. But this group of Christians believed that God called them to love all their neighbors, regardless of economic differences, regardless of race, regardless of what part of the city they lived in. And so in obedience to God, they prayed for the impossible, that God would let them start a Bible study in the inner city. But they didn't know how to begin. They did their research. They identified the very poorest community in Memphis. They thought they might like to start a Bible study at a certain apartment complex there, but they didn't know anyone there. Whenever they tried to make connections, it just didn't work out. Nothing they tried worked. They couldn't find any way to get started. There were just so many barriers. And then, you know, God does amazing things when we live by faith and obey His commands. One day, the director of the community center in that exact neighborhood called the church out of the blue and said, "I know you'll probably say no. I've been calling churches left and right, and they all say no. I know you'll say no, but I have to ask. We're looking for a church that can lead a Bible study here in our community center. Do you have anybody there you could send us?" And it was the most amazing thing. I still get chills remembering the first time I heard that story. Because the church immediately said, yes, this was God answering their prayers. They prayed for exactly this, and He granted it. And so they started that Bible study. And over the next few years, that Bible study became a church in the inner city because people believed in the gospel of Jesus. And that church became one of the few churches in that part of the city. Most churches had left the inner city. Too poor, too dangerous. The people weren't our people, and so the church has left. But that church became a light in the darkness. And that new church spawned a movement in the city of Memphis to start more churches in the inner city, in the poorer parts of town. And then that movement started a movement to do the same in cities across the country. So that today, we have inner city churches of Christ started in the same movement as that church in Memphis that are now in Atlanta and Houston and Dallas and Cincinnati and several other cities, even one as far away from Memphis as Portland, Oregon. We have one of those churches here in our own region. Some of my old friends from graduate school still work in those churches today. There were so many barriers to that one prayer ever bearing fruit. Racial barriers. I mean, this was the city where Martin Luther King Jr. was killed. There are still race problems there. There were economic barriers. There was fear of going into the inner city. There was fear of these people from outside the neighborhood coming in to the inner city. There was fear of the church rejecting this outreach, because why are we spending so much money on this? These aren't our people. There were so many barriers. But anything is possible with God. And everything is possible for the one who believes, if we live by faith and obey the Lord. Obedience is the rocket fuel of faith. I wish I could remember which preacher I heard that from in this last year. Obedience makes our faith explode and accelerate with the power of God. If you live by faith and obey the Lord, you can do anything God calls you to do, even when it seems impossible. You can minister to the poorest of the poor. You can save your marriage. You can break an addiction. You can endure through a pandemic. It's exactly what we're doing now. You can help a widow or an orphan. You can care for the hungry. You can help the sick. You can help a prisoner. You can be there to welcome a stranger. The walls, the barriers, the obstacles will not be too high for the Lord's power, or so thick that they can withstand him. Just look at what God did for Israel. Like so many in our great cloud of witnesses that we've been reading about in Hebrews 11, Jesus did the impossible. He did it by faith in obedience to God. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." By faith, Jesus endured the cross. And as Jack said earlier, he conquered death. By faith, every person who follows Jesus will share in that victory and will receive eternal life. By faith, we receive God's help today. And so we run our race with endurance, never, ever giving up. Anything is possible for those who live by faith. Just look at Israel at the Red Sea. Look at Israel at Jericho. Look at Jesus at the cross. Anything is possible. And so, my friends, let us live by faith. And let's see what God wants to say is possible for us today. Let's pray. Lord God, let your blessing rest upon your church today. Throughout the world and throughout our nation and our state, here in our county and in this congregation as well, both those who are gathered here with me physically here today and those with us virtually online. Lord, bless each one of us. Dear God, we do believe that everything is possible for you. And we do believe that everything is possible for the one who believes, who lives by faith in obedience to your commands. And so, Lord, help us to walk with you in faith. Help us to trust you. Help us to do exactly as you have taught us. And Lord, as we do, give us courage that we may go wherever you lead us, wherever you send, that we may do whatever you have in mind for us to do. Dear God, we've been apart for a long time, and many of us are still apart from each other today as well. Lord, we pray that you would bring us back together more and more. We thank you, Lord, for those who are able to be here today. Dear God, help us to continue on in faith, whatever may happen tomorrow. Help us, Lord, not to diminish in our faith during this time, but to grow in it and to depend on you more than we ever have before. Because in depending on you, dear God, and in living in obedience to you, we know that we will engage the rocket fuel of faith. You will do exactly what you have in mind for us. Lord, let your blessing rest on your church today. We give you thanks and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Let's sing together.